We hope today's edition of The Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of the day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is our awesome sister in Christ, the beautiful Miss Melanie Randall. How are you this morning?
I'm doing just fine. Yes, indeed.
Amen. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. We will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Spain's Construction and Remodeling out of Weatherford, Oklahoma. Quality work by a company that has Christian values. Today is Thursday. Pastor Dwight is not in the building. However, we're going to have a message from him through the Truth broadcast. The title for that today is going to be Growing Pains. And if you would like to be put on the wheel for the Blessing Book of March, all you have to do is like, share, and comment, done. The book for this month is Pray Big for Your Children by Will Davis Jr. And don't limit the prayers to just your children. I think I covered it all this morning, Miss Melanie. Would you please pray to start us out?
All right. Father God, I thank you for this another day's journey on this earth. And I thank you, Lord. I just thought about how Monica asked me how I am doing. And I don't take it for granted that every time that I come in here, Lord, that I'm feeling well in my body. Some are having aches and pains just every hour. And so, God, I just thank you that you bless me, Lord, with the health and strength that you've given me, and to touch those, Lord, that are having pains, that are having ailments in their bodies, touch them in a special way, God, and to relieve them of that, God. Now, Father God, as we go forth in this message today, God, I just pray that there will be people willing and ready and excited and anticipating the word of God and receiving the engrafted truth from your word. And I pray that someone will be listening that will need you and will accept your saving grace today, God, so that they can be a part of the kingdom of God and experience the glorious place of heaven. And so we give you the praise for all that is going to be said and done in this place today. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I like your title this morning. Anointed to glorify God.
Yes. I got to do, I'll say, a trial run last night at church. And I shared what I had and then ended up, as I studied a little more last night and this morning, ended up adding a little more to it. So I just thank God. The word is so ever revealing, unveiling. You'll never, as my sister-in-law said last night, you will never exhaust the word of God. You will never come into an ending of things with the word of God, because there's always something there. You know what? You could talk about salvation. I really believe this. I really believe you could talk about salvation for a whole 365 days a year, and God could show you something every day new about it. I just believe that, because he's that type of God. He's that type of God. All righty. Well, we're going to start off here with this message and letting you know that the anointing is a physical act for a spiritual empowerment. a physical act for a spiritual empowerment. It is an outward expression demonstrating you are being made activated by the Holy Spirit for God's service. We've talked about the anointing before. We've talked about, you know, the outward expression of the rubbing. You know, it means rubbing and smearing of oil. And so I didn't want to just share a whole lot on that because we've spoken on that part. But I want to get to the real spiritual aspect of this. And so when you think about what the purposes of the anointing, what it is for, I want to go to Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. And it reads as thus, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn." I'm just reading the first two. The other goes into talking about consoling and comforting those that are in mourning and in heaviness and all, you know, so forth. But I just want to read those first two. Jesus in Luke 4 and 18 said this was the fulfillment of the people of in their hearing and what he read. He read that passage of scripture. He says, now this day it was being fulfilled in their hearing through him. And so Jesus is priest, prophet, and king. He's all of those. And when you have the anointing, one purpose of the anointing is for consecration. Consecration, as they were the priests, prophets, and kings back in the Old Testament times, you will see various things that were consecrated as far as holy utensils and the tabernacle. And I want to go to that in Exodus 40 as well. But I want you to know that what I just read in Isaiah, Jesus was the fulfillment of all of it, not just a portion of it, but he was a fulfillment of it all. Okay, Exodus 40, and I'm going to begin at verse 9, and it says, "And you shall take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and all that is in it, and you shall hallow it and all its utensils, and it shall be holy. You shall anoint the altar of the burnt offering and all its utensils and consecrate the altar. The altar shall be most holy, and you shall anoint the laver and its base and consecrate it. Then you shall bring Aaron and his sons to the door of the tabernacle of meeting and wash them with water. You shall put the holy garments on Aaron and anoint him and consecrate him, that he may minister to me as priest. And you shall bring his sons and clothe them with tunics. You shall anoint them as you anointed their father, that they may minister to me as priests. For their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout their generations." So here you have an anointing of the Mosaic Tabernacle. You have an anointing of the utensils that be used in there. You have an anointing of the priests, Aaron and his sons. And so being anointed is being set apart, is being consecrated, is being dedicated to the service of God. Now that's key for what I have read in both passages of scriptures. You had the priests, prophets, and kings anointed. 1 Samuel chapter 9, 15 through 16 gives you the anointing of a king. And so when you are in ministry work of God, what are we saying? That you're being set apart and dedicated. You are being consecrated specifically for the ministry work of God. You are being not only just having oil smeared or rubbed on, but you are being activated by the power of the Holy Ghost to carry out kingdom ministry, okay? And so it says in Isaiah 61, to preach the good news. Okay, to preach the good news. You may not be a preacher, but I want you to know, by the way you live your life, that preaches. By the way you conduct yourself, by the way you speak to others, by the way you, do anything in your being, you are preaching the good news. You're letting, if you're letting your light so shine through, you're letting Christ shine through you. To proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Jesus himself wasn't in bondage. I want you to know that. He didn't come here all bound up. He came here free. He came from the ultimate place of freedom. And so he came with that freedom, able to give it freely to those that were in bondage. Jesus walked in freedom, therefore he gave freedom freely to others. Recovery of sight to the blind. Not only just physical, but spiritual. He did it both. You know, he covered it all. Nothing was left out with the Lord. He didn't half do anything. If you were blind physically, he was there to give you your sight. If you were blind spiritually, he was there to give you spiritual insight. That's it covers it. Release the oppressed. When you think about Jesus going into the Gadarenes and delivering that man from those demonic spirits, your spirit is the thing that God was reaching out for in setting the oppressed free. And that's where many people are today. You may not be blind physically or whatever, or have a physical ailment, but you are maybe all tore up spiritually. Your spirit may be oppressed, depressed. You may be possessed, you know. And so Jesus came to release that oppression, depression, suppression, whatever, off of us. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That is God's favor and grace unto salvation. It wraps it all up in that. See, salvation covers everything from healing to your spirit to your mind to everything. And so Jesus came doing this. Acts 10:36-38 sums it up in the scriptures. It says Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power to do good and heal all who are of the power of the devil. Now, I'm not quoting, I'm just giving you what it says, you know, in my own words there, but that's what it's speaking to. He came being anointed with the Holy Ghost and power, and he did good and healed all who were under the power of the devil. So how does that relate to us today? How does that relate to us, to how we're supposed to go about, how with the anointing that God has given us? Here's what 2 Corinthians says. It says 2 Corinthians 1:21 says, now he who has established us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. That's the first thing you got to know, is that God is, we've been anointed. You got to know that. We are not just running around here with the Spirit of God dormant in our lives. We've been anointed people of God. We've been anointed to carry forth ministry work, wherever. And as I said before, you don't have to be, you know, in a pulpit area to be preaching. But, you know, you, when you see the need to share Jesus with somebody, when you see the need of, sharing them that experience in some way, you know, you just be surprised sometimes how often people on your job may be really watching you ever so closely. And if you slip off and do something wrong, they will call you on it. They will surely call you on it. And so we have to be careful of how we present our Jesus. We got to present him in the rightful manner. Now, so God has anointed us, and he says, and who has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. My, thank you, Jesus. We have the Spirit of God as a guarantee of our salvation. We have that. And we need to show forth that in the way that we conduct ourselves, in the way that we go about in living this life for the Lord. Now, the other aspect is, how do we glorify God in with this anointing. And I'm gonna tie this in. I want you to see something about God, because this is something I've been mentioning from time to time when I bring messages about how God is a fulfillment of things. He works in completeness of realms, and he works in a full circle of things. Now, Psalms 138 and 8 says, it speaks of how, let me go to that. I want to read that. Psalms 138 and 8. Praise God. I want us to see something, and then I'm going to bring it forth in the original Hebrew, what it says in the original Hebrew. Psalms 138 and 8 says that the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. And if you were to read it in the original Hebrew, it says, the Lord will bring to an end or to completion that which is about me. And that connects you to Philippians, the scripture in Philippians, where it says, he that has begun a good work in me, you know, in us, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in us will complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. So what I want you to see about God, he's not a straight line God. What I mean is that he doesn't start with one and then end with 25, and that's the dead end of the thing, and that's it. That's not the way God works. He's not linear. God is circle. And the more I read the scriptures, I'm seeing it over and over, Monica, how God works in full circles of things. He starts at the point at the top, and then he works it all back around, and it ends with him. And see, that it has to be that way, because everything starts and ends with God. Let's go to Isaiah 55:10-11. Isaiah 55 and verse 10, it says, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing which I sent it. Now go back to verse 10. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there. It's saying that it just doesn't rain and snow and just go back. You know, the water goes back to heaven. That's it. No, it's coming for a purpose. The rain and the snow is coming down, hitting the earth to bring forth vegetation upon the land. And then it's really the water cycle. It's really the water cycle. And then it doesn't give you all of it, but the water, what happens that the water rises as a vapor into the heavens, makes clouds. When the clouds become full of water, then it falls down in the form of rain and snow again. It comes, and see, it's a cycle. And so what does that got to do with what God says? He says in verse 11, so it is with his word from his mouth. It's not going to return unto him empty. It's not going to return unto him not having completed what he sent it out for. So God speaks a thing, and he speaks it to be performed in the earth through his people. We go about in ministry work doing what God has told us to do. And then the ending of the thing is when we present it back unto God, because it glorifies, well, that which we have done has glorified God. See, this is what we're talking about, glorifying God. It glorifies God. We present back unto him the harvest of what we have presented unto, what he has spoken. And so it starts with him speaking unto us doing the work of the man, and then it glorifies him in the end, back to God again. And you know what's really good about that is that it, by being a cycle, God just keeps, you know, continuing it and on. It just keeps going on. See, it isn't like I said, it's not like a line. You start here and you're at the dead end, and okay, what I do now, fall off the curb or what? No, it keeps on going. He keeps speaking, and we keep hearing the word, and we keep responding and doing what has been spoken, and it keeps glorifying God. Then he keeps speaking. I mean, it's just amazing. It's amazing to see. And so what I'm saying that we are anointed to do what God has called us to do because we've been empowered by the Holy Ghost. And then that which we are doing is glorifying God, not us. Because the scripture said, let your light show so shine before men that you that they may see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. That's what it's for, to glorify him. He's the author of all things. We got to know that. The scripture let us know that everything is of him, in him, through him. He's the author of all. And so, you know, it's just fascinating to see how God works. And it's even fascinating when you think that, you know, how God anointed these various things from, you know, not even, well, from the beginning, you know, with the construction of the tabernacle, but even before the tabernacle, before the earthly tabernacle, you have the heavenly tabernacle. And the and there's an Ark of the Covenant in the earth, in the heavenly tabernacle. And I just, you know, I read that and I thought, man, how beautiful. Here God talks about his temple and how the Ark of the Covenant is there. And you want to think about the heavenly temple. It doesn't have to be anointed because it's already in an anointed, consecrated atmosphere. See, by it being God, having already his place of dwelling, his throne room is full of glory. You don't have to worry about sin, you know, coming about and disrupting things. And so his temple there in heaven is already consecrated. His temple there is already anointed in an anointed atmosphere. And then from heaven, he comes to earth and he goes into the tabernacle of man. Both that of which has been constructed and that which is of man himself, the heart of man. You know, and then the priests, you know, I think about them doing their anointing for their worship duties and what they did in that time period, how they had to do things in a specific, strategic manner. And I think sometimes we have gotten away that God is, you know, just not so specific and strategic, but he is. We can't just do things in a general manner. God is specific. He's strategic. And he's calling forth the body of Christ to be that same way. Just like the military is strategic and specific, he's calling forth the body to work specifically in the ministry work that he's called each and every one of us to do. Wherever your particular vocation is, he's called you to operate not just out of talent, not just out of skill. I was telling the church last night, I enjoy singing with the praise and worship team. I enjoy harmonizing with our praise and worship people on the team there. But I said, but that's not what it's about. It's about us helping to bring the people into the throne room. It's about bringing them into the presence of Almighty God. And I'm going to tell you, if you're not already in the presence, you can't bring nobody else in. We've got to be operating out of the very presence of God, the very heavenly glory of God. And when you operate like that, I tell you what, somebody is going to feel that. Somebody's going to recognize that, hey, this is not just singing. It's more than just a song. Oh, yeah, it's more than just a song. And they're going to be drawn in to the very atmosphere of God himself. And then needs can be met in that atmosphere. Do we have any prayer requests?
I don't have any over here.
We want to pray for Dennis McAbee. He's been feeling sick the last few days. And his grandson, Brandon, he was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when he was a child. He's in his 30s now, but he's sick also, and they had to take him to the hospital. He has a tendency to get more sick than regular people that don't have, you know, extra stuff. So we want to pray for the two of them.
Amen. Well, Father God, we thank you, because as I'm thinking about this message and who Jesus was as he went about healing, doing good to all of those that were oppressed, how he fulfilled Isaiah 61. And so, Father God, we have this request here, Lord. We ask that by your very spirit that you would go into this home, that you would go directly to these people wherever they may be at even this particular time, that you would touch them, that the spirit of the living God, the anointing that breaks, that destroys every yoke, as the word of God says, would enter in and destroy the yoke of sickness, destroy the yoke of illness, destroy every yoke that's causing any type of discomfort, even in the mind, even in the spirit, from what may be there, Lord, in the mind and spirit. Break and destroy. Bring forth your spirit of healing, of wholeness, of divine health and strength, of peace, of joy. My God, bring that, Lord, into the picture. Move out everything that's like the enemy, the devil himself, and bring in everything, Lord, from the heavenly realms. Even as we pray, Lord, let them feel the tangible arms, spiritual arms of the Holy Ghost enveloping them, giving them what they need in this very hour. And we thank you, Lord, for it in Jesus' name. Father God, I pray for the needs of various ones that have had some tragic things to happen, those that had the tornado to hit, Lord, and I pray that provision will be made for them, God, in any way that is needed, Lord, to bring forth things to be replaced within their homes, those things that can be replaced. I pray for the Putnam family, Lord, that lost their home in the fire, God, that all needs be met, whatever the needs may be, God. Sometimes we get so used to having just simple things, Lord, like toothpaste and soap and toothbrushes. We don't know when these things happen. People are in need of everything. And so we pray for various needs, Lord, to be met in that behalf. And for anyone that has lost, that anyone whose loved one has went on into eternity, we pray for the peace of God and the joy of the Holy Ghost to be the oil that remove all heaviness and sorrow. And we give you the praise and the glory and the honor for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Harvest Fellowship Church is having a marriage conference date night this Sunday, March 12th from 5 to 8 p.m. They're located on South State Highway 34 in Leedy, Oklahoma. The cost is $30 per couple or $15 for single. Food is included. You can register in the Church Center app or by texting 580-515-0456. The Refuge Church is now located at the New Liberty Church at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey will bless your socks off. Prophetic Voice Ministries is located at 616 North Locust Avenue in Elk City. Apostle Casey Elliott.